Could you tell them out there?
Good morning. I'd like to call this meeting of House Fisheries to order. It is about 8:32, and present are Representative Edgman, Seaton, Ledoux, and Johansson. And Representative Johnson is excused, and Representative Wilson and Holmes are in a finance subcommittee closeout, and they'll be joining us as soon as they're able to. I'd like to remind everybody about their cell phones. And then today we're going to be hearing HB 257, transfer of aquatic farming to the Department of Natural Resources. We have CSK, we have a committee substitute in our packet for K, which is considerably changed, so we're not at this time looking at that transfer. What we are looking at is the Alaska Grown Program, that portion of the bill that was that's under consideration. However, the subject of the HB 257 was trying to work out some of the problems that mariculture has experienced, and there's been a lot of negotiation and a lot of trying to align processes within the departments. And Representative Wilson joined us, so she's in the building as well here. So what we're going to have today is a presentation by both industry and the department, letting us know how that's been resolved and how we can look at mariculture being brought forward and aided in the accomplishment of that primary task of giving a economic base for Alaskans and how that will be pursued. So let's see, first thing, I guess we'll take the bill 257 and we'll get the presentation of that. And do I have a motion for adoption of the CS as our working document?
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt version K as the working document.
Thank you. We have version K before us, and would the sponsor or the staff come forward and present the CS for us?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the House Fisheries Committee. My name is John Bitney, and I work in the office of the sponsor, Representative John Harris. Thank you for taking up version K. This is a committee substitute that our office prepared while working with your office, and I'm here to request that the committee please take this up and consider it. This is to provide an analogy, turning a 747 into a Piper Super Cub, but I think this is at this time is the best way to proceed, and appreciate then the committee subsequently later taking up some discussion about the issue. And I think that to this time that's the best way to address the issue and work with the departments with some of the things that are in the budget process. To explain the CS just briefly, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, all provisions of the bill have been taken out except for sections 1 and I believe what was originally section 30, the last section of the bill. Essentially, the CS does not transfer or make any administrative changes other than to simply provide a provision in the statute for the Alaska Grown Program, which is currently viewed as, if you will, an agricultural program, to have it include mariculture products as well, so that the Alaska Grown stickers, posters, and those sorts of promotional efforts by the state of Alaska for agricultural products can be included on these types of products as well, and hopefully that'll help them and help the state kind of promote those. That's the intent, to try to keep it very simple, and we don't think that it's necessary at this time for the bill to do any more than that, and then we'll appreciate listening to the discussion that the committee takes up and perhaps maybe look at some of the budget measures and work with the departments hopefully to address some of the other issues. I know this has been a longstanding issue, and I know you've worked quite a bit on it, Mr. Chairman, so we'll appreciate working with you in that regard. So that's a real quick summary of what the CS does, and I'm happy to try to answer any questions if there are any.
Okay, Representative Ledoux.
I'm always curious about this when I see this something like this in a bill. It says Representative Harris by request. So who requested it?
Mr. Chairman, well, I to be honest, I'm new in the office, and so the bill predates my time in the office. So I'm not able to put any sort of specific name of anybody who requested it, but I do know that the issue is there's a longstanding issue of mariculture groups and proponents trying to get recognition by state agencies for what they do and trying to sort out, I guess, the jurisdictions between agencies over who manages them and how they're managed. And so I just know that there are proponents of mariculture, divers, farmers, leaseholders who have been dealing with these issues for a long time. In my own personal background, I have worked within the administration, and I've worked in the private sector, and so I've seen these discussions before the legislature for a number of years, so I'm familiar with some of the debate, and I know that those groups are the ones that brought that to Representative Harris.
Follow-up, Representative Ledoux.
And this is really kind of a general question. I mean, sometimes you see a group will come in and they'll have a good idea, and a representative or a senator will introduce a bill. And then other times, somebody will come in and will have a good idea, and the representative and senator will introduce the bill and say, by request. What is by request? Why would you put by request sometimes and not by request other times in a bill? I never really understood that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've been here in this building a long time. I'm familiar with this, and I think it's important just to sometimes a sponsor wishes to flag that that the issue was brought to them by someone, and they just wish to make that readily known. And I'm not familiar enough with the uniform rules on this issue to expound a long history on it, but I know a lot of members just choose to do that just to show that, to reflect that someone has brought this to them.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for the sponsor at this time? Yes. Representative Edgman.
Morning, John. On the second page, it says assist prospective settlers and others desiring to engage in agriculture industry. And what I think that means is basically to encourage people to get more involved in the agricultural industry. And the word prospective settlers, maybe just a term of art or something, we're not looking to get the people from the outside coming in to populate the agriculture community necessarily with this bill, or if in fact that's the intent, maybe you can clarify that.
Mr. Chairman, if I am reading this correctly, I think Representative Edgman was speaking to page 2, line 6 through.
Yes, I'm sorry, line 6, page 2.
Yeah, and I believe that what is being addressed here is existing statutes within the Department of Natural Resources under Title III that gets into all the responsibilities of the Commissioner of DNR. Of course, what is being added by proposed to be added by the bill is the text on line 2. The line 6 through 9 there are existing statute. Currently, and I'm not familiar with the background on those, but that those are an existing statute, and I think that these are just some references. Were this being amended into the duties of the commissioner that relate to the commissioner's responsibility on behalf of agriculture, which I think are some long-standing statutes here that probably go back quite a number of years.
And Mr. Chairman,
Representative Edgman.
As a follow-up, the only reason I asked that is because I saw inside the state throughout the bill, and so I'll leave that for now.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Bitney, the reason this is addressing the Department of Natural Resources although what we're mainly talking about is the regulation of mariculture within fish and game is because the Alaska-grown logo is part of agriculture, and this is just going to that marketing piece. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. The marketing program, as my understanding, is administered within the Division of Agriculture within DNR, and the purpose of the CS would be just to expand it to allow that it's posters, T-shirts, stickers, that sort of thing, and to recognize that the mariculture products are Alaska grown, if you will, and that that label can hopefully help them in marketing and promotion. That's it.
Thank you. And so really the problem with this is that we have one agency that is managing mariculture, a program for Alaska grown in a different department, and this is just making sure that they're covered since it's not within that department. Is that correct?
Yes, thank Mr. You. Chairman. Thank you.
Any other questions for the sponsor? Seeing none, let's go ahead and go to public testimony. And House Bill 257, we have Doug Warner. Doug Warner, are you online?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Doug Warner and members of the committee. My name is Doug Warner. I'm with the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Agriculture.
Good morning. Would you go ahead and give us your testimony? And while you're doing that, would you explain for us the Alaska-grown promotion and why the bill is necessary?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, my name is Doug Warner with the Department of Natural Resources, and we do support this committee substitute for HB 257. And basically, what this is going to do is it will provide authority for our Alaska Grown program, which is managed through the Division of Agriculture. It will help us to implement marketing and promotional activity for the shellfish industry. Those items that are actually cultured and farmed in Alaska, they would comply and meet the spirit of the Alaska Grown program. I do manage the marketing and inspection programs for the Division of Agriculture and that Alaska Grown program. And this will help resolve some problems in statute that hinder the Alaska Grown program from being fully extended to the shellfish farming industry. We currently have some shellfish and oyster farmers that are participating basically by grandfather rights. There was a change that occurred in this statute in 1998 that removed the reference and took out our ability to serve those aquaculture industry. I think it was kind of an unintended and unforeseen consequence. Basically, this language will allow us to move closer to serving the needs of this industry. I suppose we can get into the fiscal note at some time at your request, and that would provide actual market entry assistance and provide programs, but the language in this bill will at least authorize us to extend our Alaska Grown program to those individuals. I think at this time we have 12 authorized users of the Alaska Grown program that are shellfish farmers, and that came into the program prior to a change that occurred, this change that occurred in 1998. We find that there's increased, in our marketing efforts with the Alaska Grown program, we find increased interest in national and the international arena in some of these pristine products, coming from the shellfish farming industry in Alaska. I think they're well suited to production in Alaska, and they represent Alaska well. And so we are also in the process of revising our regulations for Alaska grown. So I think it would be very timely for the introduction of this bill. As we revise our Alaska grown program regulations, we can make that program fully available to the aquaculture industry. And I guess I'd be certainly happy to entertain any questions or try to further explain if there are any questions.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for the Division of Agriculture? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. John Hilsinger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Please forgive the cough that I've developed during my 12 days in the Upper Cook Inlet board meeting. We had 200 people packed in a room together. But I did want to take this opportunity to give you a brief overview of our mariculture program and some of the changes that we have planned for the future, if that would be appropriate right now.
Let me take a look. You know what I think I'd like to do, John, is get through just the bill quickly and then go back and review the mariculture program and how the department and the industry has coordinated on solving the other problems that have been handled out of the bill, just so we get through this Alaska Zone portion first.
Okay.
So
yeah.
do you have any presentation or any comments to us on the current CS?
Mr. Chairman, the Department of Fish and Game supports the current CS. We think that that would be a valuable improvement in the program, and it would solve some of the problems and be a help to the mariculture industry, and so we're very supportive of making that change. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Representative LaDue, do you have a question?
Yeah, I'm just a little bit confused. I'm looking at the original bill, and I'm hearing some hearings, I think, that we did last year that may have involved gooey ducks or may not have involved gooey ducks. They involved something. And I was thinking that there was some concern about whether Fish and Game utilized or had the resources in order to properly research the industry so that there could be new industries formed. And so you look at the original bill, and it looks like that may have been addressing that concern. And then I'm looking at this bill, which doesn't seem, unless I'm missing something, that doesn't really seem to be addressing it, and it's just talking about the marketing and the promotional work. But if we don't have the research so that people can actually be developing these areas, then what do we have to market?
And Representative LaDue, what I would like to do is Mr. Hilsinger and the industry has a basically presentation, and they've been working out those problems. And so since that's been removed from the CS that we have before us, what I'd like to do is just take up the issue of CS, and then we'll bring Mr. Hilsinger back up when we're discussing the broad issue of mariculture and how the department and the industry have put together a program that will make it work better for all Alaskans. So I think your question is very appropriate, but I'd like to hold it off until the until we've considered this Alaska grown portion in the bill.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Representative Johans.
No, Mr. Hilsinger wants to get off the witness stand. I can
tell. We will have him back up.
I'm just curious about the fiscal note. It has a transfer of two positions from Fish and Game to DNR. What are those people doing currently? Do you have a program kind of doing this, and we're just moving it to the appropriate place? Or what are these positions, and what do they do?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johansson, that was the fiscal note for the original HB 257, which would have transferred that program over.
That's fine. So on the CS, there's no fiscal impact?
Not for Comfish or Department of Fish and Game or Comfish Division.
Thank you. And
Representative Johansson, follow up.
I would imagine the other fiscal note from DNR is still still accurate. The addition of I think one and a half or two positions, since they're going to need more. I guess we can ask that.
Yeah, we'll get Division of Agriculture back up on them, specifically addressing the I know their previous fiscal note was talking about additional personnel for managing the mariculture, and that has gone away, but there will still be some fiscal note for the Alaska grown program.
Thank you.
Representative LaDue.
We What is the advantage of having the marketing of aquatic farm and hatchery products administered by the Department of Natural Resources, excuse me, as opposed to ASMIC, which markets other seafood?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ledoux, I'm not sure I have a good answer to that question other than the shellfish farm products are generally considered farm products as opposed to commercial fishery products. And so I think the sponsors felt it was more appropriate to get that marketing into the Division of Agriculture and then be able to utilize the Alaska Grown label as their marketing tool, and that would be a better for them. But I think, you know, that's probably a good question for some of the industry folks.
Do we have any questions further on the CS portion, the Alaska Grown portion? We will see you in a couple minutes for the presentation. Thank you. And again, addressing the issue, and we'll go back through the testifiers if people want to talk about the industry and its relationship with ADF&G and how to do that. So if I call your name and you're not wishing to testify on the new CS portion, that's the Alaska Grown portion, you will get another chance to testify when we're talking about the relationship of mariculture and how it can be aided in the state. So, Craig Farrington.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'm actually here. I covered Mark inappropriately on the sign-in sheet. I'm actually here to ask technical support to Director Hilsinger on any questions that you might have for fishing.
Okay, that's fine. Paul Fuse.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Paul Fuse, representing PAC Alaska and Sea Farms. It's the largest, Sea Farms Alaska, it's the largest this processor and sales of shellfish products, primarily geoid ducks. And I have several farms, and I would ask you to support this bill because it would just help us to be able to put the Alaska Grown sticker on and benefit from the generally good PR that Alaska has as a clean place with clean water in the world.
Okay. Representative Ledoux.
So why wouldn't you want this to be in ASME as opposed to DNR?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, DNR has a established program of promoting Alaska agricultural products. ASME, when you see almost all their advertising, it's Alaska Wild Products. That's the market niche that they're trying to go into. And so that's why we fit much better with the Division of Agriculture.
Any other questions for Mr. Fuse?
And I will come Thank back you. Later, too, to discuss sure. our efforts to reach some resolution with the department.
Roger Painter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Roger Painter, and I'm president of the Alaskan Shellfish Growers Association. And I would like to support the committee substitute. As the Division of Agriculture pointed out, a number of farmers are under this program now, shellfish farmers, and others would like to get involved, but currently can't because of the way the statutes are constructed. And this would just allow us to go back and participate in the program. I also would like to respond to Representative Ledoux's question about ASME. I was a board member of ASME for 12 years and still participate in a couple of ASME committees. Shellfish farmers are subject to the ASME's tax or whatever you want to call it, assessment, marketing assessment. So we do participate in the program to some degree. We're a very small player, but and the thrust of ASME's programs are for wild products. We see some benefits of being able to use Alaska Grown label, but we will continue to participate in ASME.
Mr. Chairman,
I also might take credit or blame for being the person or the entity that the association did request Representative Harris to introduce this bill.
Further questions? Seeing none, thank you, Roger. And as I said, we'll let people come back up when we're addressing the general topic. Cynthia Pringahe, do you have anything to add on the...
John represented us.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else here that would like to testify on the Alaska Grown section, which is the CS Virgin K that's before us? Is there anybody online that wishes to testify on the Alaska Grown portion of 257? Seeing none, we will close that public testimony on the bill as it relates to committee discussion. There discussion there, Representative Johansson.
There's no discussion. I'd like to move the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Do I see any nobody's raising hand for the discussion? Representative Johansson.
I'll move CS for HB 257 fish from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Seeing no objections, committee substitute for House Bill 257 version K will move from committee with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations. Mr. Warner, are you still online?
Yes. There was some breakup in the line there. Were you addressing me, Mr. Chair?
Yes, I was. There was some question that came up, and I want to go back and just for clarification on the fiscal note that you have for the... Do you have a fiscal note for version K that's simply the Alaska Grown section of the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and that fiscal note addresses our need, some resources that we believe would be necessary to provide at least a minimum amount of assistance to the shellfish growers. We are, when we are out promoting Alaska Grown in, you know, primarily Alaska, but we also have counterparts that work in the international arena that have consistently been asked about opportunities to procure Alaskan shellfish. So this fiscal note would at least give us a minimum response to the industry and help market some of the Alaska grown shellfish products. And we would assist, or we would certainly intend to cooperate with ASME in every arena that we could and be a complement and use that as a, work proactively with that organization. It would also allow us to, enter into market access program funds provided by USDA. Some of those require, activity that this fiscal note would help us at least match or provide marketing assistance.
Thank you. And we have two fiscal notes from DNR, and I'm just wanting to make sure that we have that we're considering the right one here. I believe that that one of these fiscal notes is no longer appropriate. So the fiscal note that you're talking about is the January 14th fiscal note. Is that correct?
I believe so, although mine says January 10. There could have been some modifications made after January 10, but I would assume that would be similar.
Okay, and so can you give us the total on that fiscal note then to make sure we have the same one?
132.7.
Yes, okay, that's what we have. Thank you. Are there any questions? Seeing none, we'll make sure that that fiscal note is attached. And now let's go to the broader question of the support for mariculture in the state. And Mr. Hilsinger, would you come back and give us an overview?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The staff put together a brief overview of the mariculture program, which has the yellow and green graph on the front, to give you an update of where we are. Currently, there are 63 farm sites in the state, one shellfish hatchery, and four nurseries. Total acreage permitted for aquatic farming is 330 acres, which is a small increase from the 290 acres that were permitted in 2006. The table on the first page gives an estimate of the statewide aquatic farm production value in dollars since 1990, and you can see that there's been a general increase over those years and somewhat stabilizing here in the last 3 to 4 years. The last year that we have complete numbers for is 2006, and we estimated a value of about $614,000. The 2007 numbers, we don't have all the operator reports in yet, and it appears that there may have been a slight decline in 2007, but a fairly similar number. About during 2007, about 47% of the 63 permitted farms showed production activity. That's up somewhat from 2006, when 42% of the 60 farms that were permitted then showed production. So there does appear to be a small increase in the proportion of the farms that are showing production. And that percentage has typically been in the 40 to 50% range since 2000. There was a peak in 1999, but since then it's been fairly stable at 40 to 50%. Most of the aquatic farm production, the vast majority of it, is Pacific oysters. And we estimate that they're in the water inventory of Pacific oysters at the farm sites is a little less than 9 million oysters, valued at about $3.8 million. And again, this represents a slight decrease from 2005, when we estimated about 9.6 million oysters. And that reduction, we believe, is due to a combination of things that include the availability of spat, the quality of the spat, and mortalities over a hard winter. In 2006, there were 71 people employed at farm sites, and that was up from 2005, when there were about 60 people employed at farm sites. As far as our permitting, each of these farm sites is permitted by the state. In 2007, we issued 3 new operating permits, renewed 6 permits, amended 6 operational permits, and transferred 1 permit to a new owner. This has been a fair amount of the work that's occurred within the section the last few years. We've gotten over 99% of the permits renewed. In 2003, a large number of the permits had expired. And so the staff's been working very hard to get those permits renewed so that all of the operations do have their permits and they're current. We do have five applications that are pending right now, and we're awaiting additional information. So we have issued this year 78 transport permits, 10 acquisition permits, and 2 fish resource permits as well. These permits allow the transport and acquisition of brood stock. We have 4 Pacific Oyster seed suppliers that were certified in 2007. 3 of these are in the lower 48. And it appears that Pacific Oyster seed stock supplies were not adequate to meet the needs of Alaskan farmers during 2007. Pardon me, Mr. Chairman. We have been working with the Aleutic Pride Shellfish Hatchery in Seward to develop a hatchery management plan. I was fortunate this summer to get to tour the hatchery. I tried to tour it with the fish committee in the spring and didn't make it, but I did get down in June and had a full day tour and got to see all of the food production, all their shellfish and the crab enhancement and the herring work that they're doing. So that was a good opportunity. One of the ideas that had developed in the past that we would like to resurrect is the development of the mariculture zones. This is an idea that I think had tremendous merit to go into an area and do a lot of the preliminary work to develop the area as a mariculture zone so that that preliminary work is done, and when a farmer wants to be permitted for that area, then there'll be a lot less paperwork and time required because there will already have been a buy-in by the public and the background information collected on the area. So that's an idea that we would like to continue with. Another idea that came up at the shellfish growers meeting this summer is the assistance that we could give growers in submitting their applications. And one of the things that we'd like to try to do is have our staff available in some of the communities for a few days when farmers are doing their applications so that they can go in, meet with the staff, get their questions answered. Some of the farmers have gone into Juneau and done that and found that it was a much easier, more satisfying process for them. So we did float the idea of something like having the staff go to Craig or one of the communities on Prince of Wales for a few days where they could perform that service for people. We recognize, Mr. Chairman, that we need to do a better job with the private nonprofit hatchery and mariculture permitting section. We haven't, I think, as a state, we haven't given that staff the support that they really need in order to do the job that we ask them to do. And this is true both for the salmon hatcheries and for the mariculture program. We have 5 people in that section. 2 work with the mariculture and 2 work with the primarily with the salmon hatcheries, and then 1 does the permitting, the fish and egg transport permits, shellfish transport permits, and that kind of thing. And these activities have become considerably more complex in recent years. The A lot of the salmon hatchery operations now involve remote releases. They require a lot more effort in the planning and the permitting. We have also, with our certification of the Alaskan salmon fishery through the Marine Stewardship Council, a number of conditions related to hatcheries and hatchery planning and review that we didn't have before. At the same time, the mariculture industry is growing and becoming more complex as they expand more into little neck clams and gooey ducks and those types of species. And so we put together the increment to try to add a few positions to this section. And basically what that would entail is a person to work full-time with mariculture, a person who would work full-time with the PNP hatchery permitting, and then a regional supervisor level person to supervise the program and better coordinate it, and also integrate the other laboratory functions that work with both the mariculture and the private nonprofit hatchery permitting, the age lab, the coded wire tag lab, the pathology lab, those kinds of services. And we think that by doing this, we'll be able to provide a better service, provide better oversight and supervision. Right now, we have a range 20 fishery biologist 4 coordinator that supervises it, and a lot of their time is tied up with the actual doing the permits and reviewing the hatcheries and that kind of thing, and they report directly to the deputy director for the entire division. And so there is a difficulty there in providing adequate supervision and oversight in order to make sure that program is well coordinated. And we believe that this increment would solve that problem. So, Mr. Chairman, that's completes what I had prepared. I'd be happy to answer any questions, or I have staff with better technical background in this than I, if necessary.
Thank you. And I guess the legislature has been trying for a while. I mean, I think it was 2003, there was House Bill 2008 became law that mandated that certain numbers of permits would be granted for each different areas, because it was perceived that by the legislature that they wanted to move the program along and make sure that there was availability. So this is not the first time that the legislature has worked on proceeding to try to enhance and give a alternative source of income and income base for Alaskans. So you know, personally, I'm pleased that the department has come to basically aligning. I understand it's difficult when it's called commercial fisheries, which pretty much means go out and harvest fish and do that. And then there's mariculture, which is the farming aspect. And I understand that that's where the bill came from before, was saying, well, mariculture, is it really going out and capturing wild fish being commercial fish, and is there better alignment having it in another department that works with farming of product and promoting of farming? So, you know, I'm pleased that my understanding is that, and I have not been involved in those negotiations at all, but that the this increment has come forward from the department working with the industry to find out where those problems were, how we could address the issue without having to have the legislature come down again with a mandate that we need to look at providing an economic base for folks along coastal Alaska. So I'm pleased that this is being worked out, and I think that you'll remain so that if we have questions after the folks from industry have testified that we can get you to give us more explanation, I presume.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Are there other questions for Mr. Helsinger? Representative Edgman.
Good morning, John. In the Resources Committee, we're discussing a bill that would set up the Noxious Weed and Invasive Plants Board. And the bill attempts to set up sort of the administrative capacity for Alaska, basically to get ahead of what appears to be an encroaching problem, the issue of invasive species both onshore and in the water. Is the department tracking this legislation, or is it on your radar?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Edgman, I assume they are, but I have not been involved in that.
Okay, maybe we can ask somebody else.
Yeah, and there may be somebody else that has. Mr. Helsinger, I'd like to ask you, on your first chart there, you know, we have this general, if you go from 1990 through 2005 anyway, at least a general increase, and then we had a decrease from 2005 to 2006, and then you said there's a decrease in production from 2006 to 2007. Seems like the industry is going in the wrong direction for at least what the legislature is trying to promote. Do you think that the revisions that you're proposing are going to have some impact on that, and we will get some more resurgence and availability of the industry to move forward, or do you see this decline as a trend?
Mr. Chairman, I don't necessarily see it as a trend. I think the cause of it, I think, relates to the fact that about 79% of the value is in oysters, and apparently there's been some difficulty in providing adequate oyster spat, and I think that sounds like a technical problem that hopefully can be overcome, and so I don't necessarily see that as a long-term problem. I think that what we can do as a department is to try to facilitate the issuance of the permits, so the identification of the sites and the issuance of the permits, and hopefully then that will spur some development and new sites and new farms that could offset that. Some of the other issues with getting into new species like little neck clams and gooey ducks, I think also are more technological issues than permitting issues, and so hopefully the technological parts of that can be overcome and those parts of the industry can develop as well.
Okay, thank you. And in some aspects, I agree with you. However, the legislature, at least the House, has moved forward trying to expand the gooey duck as farming availability to farmers across Alaska, as you know. And so I think that we're not just on a technological problem, but we're also on a perception and a regulatory quest here. And I'm glad that you guys are addressing the regulatory portion, at least of this section right now. So we'll talk on that later, I'm sure. Any other questions for the department or for Mr. Helsinger of the department? Okay, thank you again. Craig Farrington?
Yes,
Yes, again, I guess I would just repeat that I was here for technical support for any questions.
Okay, great. Paul Fuse.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Paul Fuse, representing PAC Alaska, Sea Farms Alaska. And I just wanted to, you know, let you know that the reason why, you know, we went to the sponsor and said that it was, you know, okay to take that portion out was because of new management at the Department of Fish and Game, represented by Mr. Hilsinger, and also because we had a new administration. We had a governor who clearly stated during the campaign and in her campaign literature that she wanted to see the obstacles removed to this industry. And it can be a huge industry in Alaska. We've got prime habitat for doing the growing. The nice thing about it, too, is that in every case, this is rural development, and that's an area where we've had trouble really being able to promote rural development. What we see is our villages emptying out into the cities. There's a projection now in Southeast Alaska that that Southeast Alaska will be depopulated by 20% in another 20 years. But this is really serious, and especially in the villages. So this is a big opportunity. The thing that we've seen on the regulatory side is things haven't been getting better. They've been getting worse. And we think that's part of the reason you're seeing the downturn. Every time we think we've got a solution, then something else, a new regulation comes out that makes it even worse than it ever was before. So because of that, my understanding is that there were zero applications for any new gooey duck farms in 2007. I might be wrong, there might be a couple, where people are spending their money as in lawsuits, battling the department, and you know, trying to come up to live up to the new requirements that are being put on. And for gooey ducks, it's an industry where, you know, it's going to be 7 years until you have any marketable product. So every expense that you have no return in revenue whatsoever. So, you know, one of the issues that that's come up is the thing about bonding, because it says when you leave a site at the end of it, when you terminate it, that you have to replace any wild stocks that you took off of it. And we agreed to that. It was in the legislation. But now the department's requiring the posting of a bond in advance. And even though its regulations say that if you show them that you've replanted the site and you've given them your receipt from the hatchery and a transport permit, that you'll get the money back. But no money has ever been returned. So that's one of the issues. The other issue is dealing with the standing stocks on the site. And this has been very well litigated. We've got all the way up to the Supreme Court decisions on this and new statutory language. So what it comes down to, we do a survey to make sure there aren't any significant numbers of gooey ducks on the site. And then the department has also sponsored depletion fisheries, where they go in and say to the commercial divers, remove every single gooey duck from the site. And for all the sites they did that on, they never came up with more than a significant amount did they harvest. So it shows that the surveys are working. There aren't more than significant amount of gooey ducks on these sites. So what's happening then is that we get to the point, okay, at what point then does the product that's left there become farm product? And that is the key issue to resolve. And I got to say, I was a little bit disappointed that the Director Hilsinger didn't address any of these in his remarks. I mean, adding additional staff is not going to solve these regulatory problems. A commitment to solve them is what it's going to take to make this industry move forward. So and we've had many discussions, and we really haven't resolved any of these yet, but the discussions are ongoing, and it just as a matter of good faith that we're here supporting this bill and taking the in removing the sections that remove the regulatory aspects of this from Fish and Game that we'll work with them on. What we think the solution is and right now you can take up to 2,000 pounds per acre. This is what the rules are. That's deemed to be insignificant amount. And you can sell those, the farmer can. Beyond that, the department has put in a tax, a 50% tax, on any above that number. Well, you'd lose money doing it. So no one has ever, ever harvested even one clam under that provision. It's a confiscatory tax, so you'll never do it. So now the department's come up with something and say, well, any wild stocks that are on there, you have to harvest them within 5 years, and then after that, you can't harvest anymore. And so what we'd be forced to do is we go in and clear them out and clear the site, the farm product, and the wild. We would have to engage in the practice of wanton waste. we'd have to waste any of those resources that are on the site. And the suggestion is made as well, we could just kind of do selective enforcement of that, and maybe we'd look the other way, or maybe we wouldn't on the wanton waste issue. This is not a satisfactory resolution of it. So I just want you to know those are the issues that we are looking at. We think that after you've cultivated the area for more than 5 years, and that they benefited from predator exclusion, removing debris so you got a better flow of food available to all the animals on the site, that at that point, whatever minuscule amount is left there should be called aquatic farmed product. And we can go ahead and build this industry. But that's what it's going to take to resolve it. So I just wanted you to know what some of the specific issues were and what we're trying to resolve here. And we do take Director Hilsinger at his word and the Palin administration that they do want to resolve these. And it's in that spirit that we're supporting this new CS.
Okay, thank you. Questions? I guess I share some of the same frustration, because even where we get to the point where there would be no existing stock, so that there wouldn't be that competition, we still have significant challenges in trying to have geoduck farming where there is no stock. So it's not it's not only the issue of that. I think it's a mindset that we need to look at as well, and hopefully that'll be coming forward. What I'd like to do at some point in time is, these are too complicated of an issues for us to try to resolve around a table. But what we would like to do is have the industry and the department get together and come out with some written guidelines on these. It's so challenging for hearing, okay, this is the way we're going to handle something, and then you get a change of personnel, you get anything, and all of a sudden we can be looking at it. So what I would like to do is ask the industry to get together with the department and not just sit down and figure out where these are, but we need to have, and I'm addressing the department as well, what we need to do is have some written guidelines on these issues and how it's going to be handled, so that everybody has the same understanding. And then the committee would like to hear back from the industry and the department on what those guidelines are. I think that part of the problem is that you don't always have the same answer, or people interpret the answer differently. And so it's very, we found in the legislature the same thing, as if, when you're done with the meeting and you think everybody understands the same thing, you can come out of there with diametrically different understandings. So I would just like to request that the department look at this as they go forward, especially with an increment and looking at policies and all, that we do get some guideline documents that are written down so that everybody can understand them, so that we do have a policy of how it's going to be handled. And so if there's a change in permitter or something, then there's not a new understanding or a different understanding. And I think that we'll get the department back up to see if we can also ask them to work on that, so that we get this together, because this has been going on far too long, and for everybody's concern. And so I will try to promote this in that way of just making sure that the understandings are the same as we go through the process. So are there any other questions for Mr. Foos?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a great idea, and we will commit to participate in that process.
Thank you. Let's see, we have Roger Painter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Would you identify yourself on the record again, please?
Roger Painter. I'm a shellfish farmer and president of Alaskan Shellfish Growers. I'd like to explain a couple of things, I guess, kind of where the conflicts may have arisen and why.
with trying to fit aquaculture under the Division of Commercial Fisheries. I've watched for the past 35 years the department try to grapple with the whole issue of aquaculture from the time the bills were introduced to authorize the salmon ranching program through the writing of the Aquatic Farm Act to today. And I can tell you it's been a very difficult politically bloody and glacially slow evolutionary process. And the 2 years ago, shellfish growers got together with Governor Murkowski's fish czar, as some people called him, Mr. Osterman. And we tried to put together an industry vision of a development plan for aquaculture in Alaska. And the number one recommendation of this group was to move the mariculture program from fish and game. And this was probably, these were oyster farmers, gooey duck farmers, little neck clam farmers, the whole spectrum of the industry involved. And I think it was the result of longstanding frustration in trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. And, you know, we're not commercial fisheries. And the whole mindset, I think, is different. As I watched the department try to fit the salmon aquaculture program into the department, it was a complete meltdown. The governor, the legislature, both strongly supported the program. The department really refused to implement the program. The people of the state of Alaska passed huge bond amounts to build hatcheries at a time when the state was very, very poor. Finally, the legislature and the governor put together the FRED division within the Department of Fish and Game to really force the program to be implemented. The FRED division was taken away a number of years ago as the Department of Fish and Game was cut back and the hatchery program was cut back. But the need still exists to give aquaculture some kind of better voice in the department. And fortunately, I think that the new administration, people down in the Division of Commercial Fisheries have recognized there's a problem, and they've responded by putting in this request, increment request, which we very strongly support, in essence to recreate a FRED division within the department. And we refer to it as a mini FRED division, but it's the same kind of concept. This is really trying to, you know, maybe shave some of the edges of that square peg to make it fit in there a little bit better. But we've already seen a new attitude in the department in trying to resolve problems. And, you know, kind of like Barack Obama's supporters were hopeful that something's going to change. Thank you.
Are there?
I also should mention, Mr. Chairman, that not all the problems have been solved by any stretch of the imagination, but we do see a new attitude there to try to work to resolve them. Thank you.
Okay. And Roger, you know, I'm making the suggestion so that the information can come back to this committee and the legislature, that as you work with the department on these issues and as these issues raise, they be formalized in writing as guidelines or guidance document or something so that we have some continuity over time. And so I would like to ask whether you would be willing to participate in that kind of a process with the department so that instead of just coming forward and getting either verbal testimony at these kind of times or people visiting in offices and having problems and trying to solve them on a, you know, case by case or a person by person basis, we can look at this as a system-wide system-wide understandings and solutions. So would you be willing to participate in that process as well?
I'd be delighted to.
Okay. Thank you. Question, Edmund.
Following the testimony of Mr. Fuse, I was just sitting here wondering about what kind of money that requires to become a farmer, and assuming that some of these barriers to entry are resolved and there's more incentive for maybe a community or a village corporation or somebody to get involved, what kind of money are we talking about to be a farmer? What kind of capital does it take to get into business? Just a rough number.
Well, it varies radically according to what species you're getting involved in. Obviously, if you're planting a crop like gooey ducks, that may take 6 to 7 years to mature. We don't know at this point really how long it's going to take, but it takes a while to set up your infrastructure, to get going, go through the permitting. So you're really talking about adding a couple more years from the time you initially start out. So there can be a real significant investment of time and equipment if you're planning subtidally, you're doing that with divers. Can be very expensive. Different if you're farming oysters, but again, the cost of entry will vary according to what you already have. If you are a commercial fisherman and you have a vessel that you could use on your farm, well, that eliminates a lot of the cost. If you're already living in the area you're going to farm, you don't have to come in and buy property, a house, or build a float home, or whatever. But my oyster farm, we've probably invested well over $200,000, $250,000.
So I guess just as a follow-up,
suffice
it to say that it takes a lot of upfront capital to get involved with a certain amount of risk, because I think, like we heard this morning, that you don't know what you're going to get back, and it could be a few years to get anything back at all. And I'm going to presume that there's probably no funding source, or you can't go to the division investments maybe and get a loan or something like that to get involved with something like this.
There are loan programs through the chair to Representative Edmund. There are loan programs under the U.S. Department of Agriculture that aquatic farmers qualify for. However, one catch to it is you have to have experience as an aquatic farmer before you qualify. So that does hinder new entrants from getting in who don't have that experience. Representative Seaton, also, one other thing I meant to add, one of the reasons that it looks like there's going to be a downward trend in oyster sales in 2007 is that Mother Nature threw us some kind of curveball, and growth rates were significantly off. Many farms had to shut down this summer because growth rates were so far off, shut down for half of the summer. I know my production of oysters was about 50% of what we expected. It can be effect of La Nina or some other environmental event, but that's one reason you're seeing a downtrend this last year.
Representative Edmund, sure.
Yeah, and this goes back to the question about the bill that we have in House Resources. I'm just trying to mix and match here a little bit. But the issue of invasive aquatic plants, where are we at in Alaska in from a farmer's perspective? Are we sort of at the cusp of something that's going to develop into a bigger problem later on, or is it not on the horizon yet? Or
Through the chair to Representative Edgman, the industry is regulated to farm only indigenous species in the state, with the exception of Pacific oysters, which were grandfathered in because they were farmed pre-statehood. So there's very little concern, actually, that any invasive species might be generated by aquatic farming activities. However, farmers do see a lot of what's happening in our ocean waters, and I can tell you they're changing very dramatically. Invasive species are probably going to be showing up here no matter what we do, because as the waters warm, if that's what's going to happen, the marine waters continue to warm, you'll see all kinds of new plants and animals showing up that aren't coming from ballast water or anything. Mm-hmm. They're like Manila clams, as an example, an introduced species on the West Coast that's kind of completely taken over but has become a very valuable crop along the West Coast. The ranges are creeping up in British Columbia all the time, and you know, we're going to see a lot of new things in the water over the next few years.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, just talking about the idea of how much it takes to get into some of these things, and that's one of the, I think you were talking about Village Alaska, and one of the interesting things about the gooey ducks that we were talking about earlier in this session was that, you know, you can, especially where you have diving, I mean, we have diving classes through the schools in many places, and so you can have a long-term project where you can actually provide a secondary basis for the economy of some of these rural Alaska communities instead of having the only option be a single individual that goes out and has enough money to plop down and start a farm, anticipating that he has enough resources to keep going for 7 years. So there's a community aspect of it as well in some places. So thank you, Roger. Cynthia?
Mr. Chair, I'm here for technical questions only.
Okay. Does anyone have, and you are, Cynthia, you are the permitter?
I'm the mariculture coordinator for Fish and Game, and we oversee the operation permit.
Okay. Can you go ahead and come on up? And go ahead and identify yourself on the record. So,
Mr. Chairman and committee members, I'm Cynthia Pringham. I'm the mariculture coordinator for Fish and Game. And again, I oversee the operation permitting of the aquatic farms in Alaska.
Great. And Cynthia, yeah, you've heard my suggestion to both the department and to the members of the industry on trying to get some feedback to us on the resolution of these problems and having the talks and actually developing some written guideline documents and so that everybody has the same understanding, and so that we can also understand if there's a problem that isn't getting to resolution at some point, it's going to come to us, but then we'll know what that problem is, and we can better help in the solution. So do you, as a coordinator, does that sound like a something that you could work with the industry on and trying to come out with some written guidelines on these so that everybody at least has the same understanding and that there's history of what that understanding is, so that, you know, 6 or 8, 10 years from now, when there's a new fisheries committee here, they're not going back and just trying to rebuild a history. And can you give us your feedback on that?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I'm very happy to be part of that process. We have had a lot of coordinators that have come and gone in the program, and administrative people, and consistency is key for this program. And I know the farmers are very eager to have, you know, at least if not someone here for a long time kind of coordinating, having policy, having guidance there that we can plan to utilize for the long term. And if it needs to be changed or altered, we can sit down again and, you know, like a stakeholder group and figure out what would be best at that time. But I think that'd be very useful. And I know as a coordinator coming in, I wish I'd had a little bit more guidance starting off, and it would have been a smoother road for me. So for all people concerned, I think it'd be a good idea.
Great. Well, we appreciate that. Did anybody else have any questions for the mariculture coordinator? Get the title right there. Thank you, Cynthia.
All right.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, Chairman.
Do we have anyone else? Oh, we have Jeff Hetrick. You're available for question. Jeff, are you still online? Okay, he's offline. Let's see. John, you want to come back up? Thank you. And would you go ahead and identify yourself again for the record, just so we have it on there?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John Hilsinger, Director of Commercial Fisheries Division.
Hi, John. We're curious because, you know, we do have an increment that's been proposed for the shellfish hatchery, and it seems to be, you know, we have a single mariculture shellfish hatchery for the entire state. And what we're trying to do is figure out on that long-range plan was to have it pay for itself, and we are now finding that that plan, there's not as much geoduck, especially since limited southeast, and there, so that plan really isn't going to be paying for itself very well. The king crab program has really helped, but the whole basis for the mariculture is for our onshore farms, whether it's geoducks or clams or mussels or oysters. And it's been proposed that to get to economic viability, there's got to be more sales, or just a recognition that we're always going to have to subsidize that. And I don't think that the legislature really wants to be in that determination that this is going to be a subsidized operation. We want it to be self-sustaining. And the question had come up earlier about bringing in geoducks from Washington, keeping those in a separate separate section of the facility, and then being able to sell those spat to back to Washington, where they'd be a valuable resource and provide the economic basis that would support the shellfish hatchery. Can you were down at the shellfish hatchery, I presume, and you've heard the questioning and the proposal to be able to do that. Can you give us kind of your perspective on that at this point in time? Of course, you know, there's lots of permits and lots of things that have to transpire, I'm sure, but can you give us the department's perspective?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, and I did receive a letter yesterday from Mr. Hetrick of the Aleutic Pride Shellfish Hatchery laying out their plan to be able to do that, and we have distributed that to our pathology and genetics labs and the staff to assess that and the legality of doing that and what types of requirements we might like to see. And so we should have, I requested that people get their comments back to me within a week, so we should have some initial assessment fairly soon as to whether it would be feasible, and then if there were any regulatory changes that would need to occur. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. And of course, I think it all, at least in my initial thoughts on it, it all likely hinges on the design within the hatchery for keeping those animals and the resultant spat separate from the ones that would be stocked back into Alaska. And I think, the disease treatment of the water and separation of the water supplies and those kinds of things. So our pathologist, Ted Myers, I know works closely with pathologists in the Pacific Northwest, and he's extremely highly regarded, and I think he's taken a very serious approach to the pathology aspects of the aquatic farm industry. And so I think, a lot of it will hinge on what he says. And then secondarily, I think on the genetics front, the issue will be more the ability to keep them separate, since nobody's proposing that they would actually be stocked in Alaskan waters. It'll I think, mainly be an issue of the design of the facility and that kind of thing. But we should have a good handle on those issues within a week, and we're certainly more than willing to seriously consider that. I certainly understand the desire to keep the shellfish hatchery viable. And I can certainly understand the issue of state funding. I think there actually would be some value in having some state funding in that hatchery, and perhaps then more involvement and more closer involvement and communication between the department and the hatchery through that. But I can certainly understand the issues surrounding that. I've already asked for quite a bit of money this year, so I'm not asking for more.
I guess we're already doing this in some aspects, aren't we, with don't we have at least one salmon hatchery here that brings species from British Columbia, brings them in here, keeps them separate, and then returns that fry to, I don't know whether they go out as fry or smolt, but we then they go back. And so those things aren't generally something that can't be overcome. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, I've been told that too, and I don't have any reason to doubt it. And I know that in the past, at one time, apparently, when Fred Division was doing a weather vane scallop program, we actually took the Alaska scallops to a hatchery in Washington, and where they bred the scallops and then shipped the spat back to Alaska. So I know it's happened. It's gone the other direction. So I don't think that it's a certainly not a new idea, and I think it's one that those issues have been overcome in the past. So.
Okay, great. Yeah, because and the committee would appreciate communication on that so that we know where that's going, because we're also facing looking at the hatchery, and there's been a pretty strong commitment from the legislature over the years to make sure that we maintain the viability of that. It's seen pretty much as if the hatchery goes away, then we have no basis for the industry, as we've as the industry has been designed by the legislature for years. So we would appreciate you keeping us informed on where that is. Are there other questions? I think that was there anybody else in the audience that wanted to volunteer anything on the mariculture? Mr. Foos, do you want to come up one more time?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Paul Foos, PAC Alaska and Sea Farms. I just want to give you this document. This is a whole bunch of people got together for a regional aquaculture development program in southeast here. It has, you know, I think it's kind of a blueprint for the rest of the state, too. It's some great goals in here. It goes into all the comprehensive things that, like, Representative Edgman was talking about, so I'd just like to give that to the committee. And also on the hatchery, we're concerned about that. If we could resolve some of these regulatory issues, we could put our money into buying spat from the hatchery rather than putting into lawsuits against the department.
Oh, we appreciate that, and we're all in favor of solving things and getting an economic base in our coastal communities. If anyone else have anything else that they want to comment on the hatchery program or any other matters, we will be looking at on Monday. We will be looking at House Bill 134, and there is a CS that's work draft O, and that is on our the Fisheries Committee website. So that House Bill 134, protection of salmon spawning water, has changed significantly, and so we will be having public testimony on that bill. And I want to make sure that everybody is aware that it is version O that we will be considering on Monday. And let's see. Oh, and also posted on the website is a presentation that we had from Greg Rosenkranz on the underwater imaging and stock assessment that we had last week, so that if anybody missed that and wants to get it, it's there. Anything else to come before the committee? We will be adjourned at 9:58.